This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
One pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence
Taylor! Every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Re, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Had a good Friday morning, May the 7th, 2021, the show that you've fallen in love with from 5 to 8 a.m. every weekday here on 98.7 ESPN is DCR. I'm Dave Rothenberg, he's Chris Canty, and of course, we have Rick DiPietro as well. Look, guys, a lot to get into. Painful Yankees loss yesterday. The Mets still can't hit, but they get a victory. The Nets lose yet again. A lot going on. Let's say good morning. Good morning, Chris Canty. How are you?
I'm doing good, Dave. And even though we caught an L yesterday with Garrett Cole on the mound, we still won the series. So that makes it three of the last four series where the Yankees are putting up W's. So I'll take it. I'm in a
All
good
right.
mood.
He'll take it. Good mood this morning on an actual Friday from Chris Canty. And we say good morning to one Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good morning, David. Good morning, Christopher. I'm fantastic. We got two Fridays in 1 week. I don't know how you can beat that.
Very unusual. What you didn't know yesterday, Chris, when you left the show like at the 7:30 mark, is that when we returned from break, Ray Santiago played Hey, It's Friday for us. Confused
really?
Us for a moment. Yeah. In fact,
guess it was Friday for him because he's not on the show today.
Exactly. So I'm questioning whether, because we have Ty in today, and everyone knows that Ty does a terrific job, if we have some sort of a Wally Pipp situation. Like if Ty does a sensational job on the heels of what Santiago presented us at the end of yesterday, if we don't hear from Ray again.
Wow. I mean, that's lofty.
I'm just wondering. I'm not saying I want that or expect it. I'm wondering.
Dave, you're putting Ty in Lou Gehrig territory?
He's very good.
Wow. Okay.
He's very good.
All right.
Well, it's just nice of him to take the day off from the dojo to come join us today.
Director Yo Pizza.
I don't know that the dojo opens it so early, right? I think he might be doing both today.
Oh, boy.
As a matter of fact. By the way, Chris, I received a call yesterday from someone who was so upset and so bothered and fed me such information on Rick officiating a wedding that you will not believe it when I present it to the jury at about 6 o'clock this morning.
Oh, I can't wait, Dave. Look at you teasing that kind of thing. Top of the show. I love it. I can't wait for it. That was a bombshell that dropped yesterday. That was a bombshell.
I felt like I was TMZ yesterday. I'm minding my own business. I receive a phone call. I answer the phone. And I'm like, what? This happened? What? And this person said, and you're free to use this on the air, mention my name, all that. I said, oh, okay. I mean, I can't believe it. All I know is Rick will be horrified, and I think RJ will have some real decisions in the future coming up.
Rick, do you have any idea what it could possibly be?
I have no idea. I've only gotten rave reviews. Every wedding that I've done, rave reviews.
Okay.
Highlight of the wedding.
Okay. Well, a bombshell. It's almost going to be like My Cousin Vinny when they run in with the information at the end and it changes the entire complexion of the case. Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
All right.
Yeah.
Taking a lot of shots the last couple of days. I mean, a lot of shots. Offended a lot of people. A lot of people.
Yeah, but isn't that kind of what makes me so lovable? Is that I'm willing, I'm willing to take shots at anybody, myself, you, Chris, anybody.
Well, I don't mind if you take shots at me or Chris. I mean, Chris and I love you. I mean, talk about the people that are listening. The
you
diabetic community, the heavyset
Stop.
Community.
Listen, I'm a member of the heavyset community. Stop it. Stop. Everyone's too sensitive. You got. Everyone has to be stop being so sensitive. And now look at this obese man that's going to sit in the chair. I didn't take a shot at an individual. I didn't call anybody out by name. I generalized. I said this as a community, this was ridiculous. I didn't need the chair up there on draft night and all these heavyset people plopping themselves into it. They could barely get out of it. I didn't need it.
Yeah, I don't think anybody needed it, Dave.
Exactly.
That was one of those things that probably sounded good in Roger Goodell's mind, and then he pitched it to everybody in the NFL league office, and nobody had the courage to tell him, hey, this is probably not the best look, so they just went with it. That doesn't seem like that's something that everybody would sign off, and you were like, yeah, that adds entertainment value to the draft, because it didn't.
It added nothing. It was uncomfortable, if nothing else.
Is there really anything the NFL could have done, though, where you weren't going to watch the draft?
No.
Stop yourself, please.
No, but all I'm saying is I wanted the draft to start 8 o'clock. Let's go. 8:05. Put them on the clock at 8:07. I don't care. I have to have a concert. Then I have to have, let's welcome Martha from the Jaguars. Come sit in this chair. I didn't need it is all I'm saying.
That's a fair point, Dave. I don't know that you needed to attack everybody in the heavyset community by
those were huge fat people.
Yeah, but that was that chair was completely unnecessary. You're right.
What time was the first pick? Like 8:37?
Way too late.
Ridiculous.
Whatever time it was way too late. I mean,
ridiculous.
They're saying the draft is going to start at 8. The first pick needs to happen at 8:10.
Exactly. Like the Jaguars didn't know who they're taking. They took like 10 minutes off the clock.
Yeah, but they said they were going to take 10 minutes off the clock.
Why?
They knew who the first two picks were.
Why? Why would they possibly take 10 minutes off the clock?
I don't know. They're paying people a lot of money. I mean, there's a lot of money going into this thing. They want to get the most out of it. We got a concert going on. We got the chair.
There's a lot happening. Let's give them another round of applause. Kings of Leon, everybody. It's great. You want to watch football, and you're getting a concert. Phenomenal.
Oh, man.
Unbelievable.
You're so angry. I don't understand why you're so angry.
Well, but you know what? Because the news I heard about you yesterday angered me.
Oh, here we go. I got some news, too.
You got
show news. Yeah, I got news, too.
What do you got?
I'm going to save it. I don't want to.
Really?
You tease the 6 o'clock hour. I'll wait.
But when are you going to, import your show news here?
Maybe 6 o'clock. Maybe during that hour sometime.
You know what he's doing, Dave? He's going to hijack your point. He's going to, whatever you got to bring to the table.
He's
going to
have something a little bit better, a little bigger.
He's going to use his news to deflect attention away.
Of course he is.
Yeah, that's what he does.
Absolutely he is. I look forward to that. I don't know how he could deflect this, though, to be honest with you. This news is such, it's groundbreaking news. I don't know how he could deflect this. He'll try. I'll mention it. Like, boy, can't do the Rangers fired everybody. Chris Drury was on the K-Show yesterday. But he will do everything in his power to deflect this news. I don't know how he'll deflect.
I'm just going to say this, Dave. Don't sell Rick DiPietro short.
No, I know he'll try, but I don't know.
Master at deception.
This is really like this is the smoking gun. This and I think RJ will reconsider, and I believe that I will at the end of the day be performing the Santillo wedding. Come on, guys.
I don't believe you'll do it. I do not. I still to this day you said it 1,000 times yesterday. I'll go do test weddings. You're not going to do it. You know you're not going to get ordained. You won't do it.
Okay. Oh, I'll be ordained by the end of this weekend. I will be ordained.
I guarantee you won't.
I'll do a wedding on the show. I'll have two people call in, and I'll just do the wedding right here on the show if you want.
Yeah, maybe you can do the wedding while Ty breaks wooden boards.
You see what he does?
Oh, he deflects, Dave. He deflects
like nobody else.
And he uses humor to do it, Dave. That's what it is. He sucks you in with the humor, and you're so busy laughing, you can forget all about the point that you were making to try to go after him.
That's right.
That's what.
And he's not even – here's the thing, though, about Ty. He's not even like – He doesn't even have his own ideas when it comes to the whole karate. Like, his dojo is, it's Ty, T.Y. Gershulman's, like McDowell's.
What, can you explain to people
at least be creative.
Why you're attacking poor Ty? Like the genesis of this? Because I'm sure there are people tuning in that are like, why is he attacking Ty, and what in the world is he talking about? So can you explain what's going on?
Well, first and foremost, he attacks me all the time on your Saturday show, so he deserves it. And the other thing was, in passing, when I saw him, when we were actually in studio, I saw him come in, and I looked down, and he wore karate shoes to work. It must have been casual Friday, or he's coming right in. I mean, he had just taken off his gi, but he always had karate shoes on.
Ty, first of all, good morning, and I apologize in advance for this happening to you. Do you have any response to the karate shoes that Rick claims that you were wearing?
Good morning, Dave. It's the Friday. It's not the Thursday or the Wednesday. It's the Friday. I don't really pay attention to what Rick says. He's clearly envious of me. I get to spend 3 hours on Saturday mornings with you, and he loves you. He just wants to be in my spot. So
it's because you're a purple belt. That's why I'm jealous.
Dude, it can't be karate shoes. There's no ankle protection. They're slip-ons, no ankle support. It can't be karate shoes. It makes no sense.
I apologize, Sensei.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh.
Chris, we are not letting him do this with the news at 6 o'clock. Right at the top of the 6 o'clock hour.
I know what he's doing is so funny, though, Dave.
I know. It is funny. It is well done. Because it's humorous and it's quick. It's not like it's a long bit. It's quick. It's in and out, right?
Yeah.
He throws it out there, and then you can digest it, and you can laugh off of it. All right, so let's get into the Yankees from yesterday. You're right. You win 2 out of 3. You beat the Astros. However, you went into that game yesterday thinking, we got Cole on the mound. We're going to sweep this team. We hate this team. So solely from yesterday, you had to be a little frustrated with that loss, especially having Altuve come up with that big hit.
Yeah, you didn't want to see what happened with Altuve in the eighth inning, but you knew that Chad Green was gonna, you know, have a rough go of it when he walked the leadoff batter in that inning. You never walk the leadoff batter because you're gonna give yourself an opportunity. You're gonna give the other team an opportunity to do some damage, and that's what happened. And it got compounded by the throwing error by Gio Urshela. So yesterday was one of the rare days where your bullpen let you down. Your bullpen has been a strength of this team. It's the best bullpen in the majors. But and looking at that game, you wanted to get greedy. You wanted to be able to sweep the Astros. Have an opportunity for the fans to heckle him a little bit more, just to have that good feeling going into the next series against Washington. But, I mean, yesterday there was some positives. Even though Gerrit Cole didn't have his best up, he still went 7 strong, 2-run ball. You had chances. Gleyber Torres had some heads-up base running late in that game.
Love
which
that.
I thought was really, really good when he realized that the Astros weren't covering third. Then Maldonado, for whatever reason, wants to run up the third baseline, and then he takes home. So, I mean, that was good to see from him. He also had a couple of nice defensive plays, and we've seen that from him throughout the course of this short series. Stanton continues to rip the cover off the ball, so you're hoping that he can continue to carry your lineup. The other guys are going to come along. The other guys are going to hit. So I'm not really worried. I think there's way more positive than negative when it comes to the Yankees, even though they lost the game yesterday.
Yeah, but the problem was Altuve.
Yeah.
That's what sucks about it. I mean, you won 2 or 3, great. You won the series. I mean, the Yankees are playing much better baseball, let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as far as the things that, you know, they weren't doing well, running the bases, defense. I mean, they've cleaned a lot of that stuff up. And, I mean, Chris, you mentioned it. And, I mean, Stanton's still red hot. Another home run.
Red hot. Scalding hot.
Frazier hits a home run. Concern would be, I mean, what happens with Gio at third base? So he hurt his knee at some point. I mean, they'll get Voit back, which they need to get Voit back. And LeMahieu can always play third base. But, I mean, if you're a Yankees fan, what pisses you off the most is it's a Gerrit Cole start that you didn't take advantage of.
And I mean, they usually are, but it was a really good Gerrit Cole start as well.
You know what's amazing, too? I thought this was interesting because we always, like, whenever you hear a manager speak, and this is one of the reasons why, you know, when Quinny comes on, we love having Quinny on because he doesn't hold anything back. Like, you ask him a question, like, he's going to show you raw emotion. He's going to, you know, tell you what's on his mind. So it was funny. I was watching the post game yesterday. Afternoon baseball, by the way, is the best.
That was all over the place yesterday, too.
Well, but they had Aaron Boone on, and he was doing his post game press conference, and they asked him about Cole. And he's like, oh, he pitched good, but he really didn't have his great stuff. So then when they did Cole's post-game press conference, they said, well, you know, Gerrit, it was a good start, but Booney, you know, he mentioned that you really didn't have your great stuff. And you should have, like, the look on Gerrit Cole's face was like, what do you mean I didn't have great stuff? Do we not recognize that the Astros are a really good lineup?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he didn't have his dominant stuff.
No, it wasn't the best you've seen him. But, I mean, seven innings is pretty good.
No, but how much of that was the lineup? Like, he didn't have his. I mean, you're talking about a streak where he's, you know, 3 straight games, 10 plus Ks, no walks. So he didn't have the 10 plus Ks, but still, I mean, to navigate through that lineup, that's a good offensive team.
Excellent.
No doubt. No doubt.
And that's what aces do. I mean, he passes the baton with the lead to the bullpen. And, I mean, Green against righties has been lights out this season. He throws a 96 mile an hour fastball inside, head high to Jose Altuve. And somehow he hits a 3-run home run.
Yeah, he unloaded on that. And then you thought the Yankees had a chance, but couldn't get themselves back to take advantage in the ninth inning. It kind of fell apart a little bit, and they lose it by the final of 7-4. Let's take a listen to some of the particulars. Here is Gerrit Cole on fan enthusiasm when their Houston Astros come to town.
Yeah, there was a different level of intensity, certainly. My experience has been no fans and then only like 9,000, so... quite a bit of energy the last 3 days. Looking forward to seeing more of it.
I actually think it's great for baseball, to be honest with you. When the Astros go anywhere, they're going to be destroyed, and it sounds like we're going to get more and more fans, and you might have almost full stadiums by the end of the summer. I mean, they're in for quite a revenge tour here in 2021.
It's needs a team like the Astros. Every sport needs a team that universally hates. It's good for the sport. I mean, it creates it for me.
You want a villain, don't you?
Well, you absolutely want a villain because people that aren't even. I mean, if you're not a Houston Astros fan, you can't stand them. And I'm interested to see how different wherever they go, how those fan bases react to them.
Yeah, I can't imagine it's going to be anything positive, though, Rico. Like, I think fans around baseball are going to let the Astros hear it because they went from being one of the most lovable teams because they were an upstart group back in 2017 to being one of the most hated teams, right? The diminutive Jose Altuve winning the American League MVP. Like, everybody was like, this is going to be a fun team to watch. Then it turns out that they're involved in this elaborate cheating scandal and they're disrespecting the game of baseball. Like, I mean, you might say that everybody around baseball steals signs, but nobody went to the lengths that the Houston Astros did.
No.
And so, I can imagine a lot of fan bases around Major League Baseball are going to let them hear it. Not just this season, but just with this group of guys, they're going to let these dudes hear it for the rest of their careers. I don't think this is going away anytime soon.
Although I will say that it probably won't, maybe it will, but probably won't get much worse than it will in the Bronx. Do you think the Kansas City Royals fans are going to have this kind of vitriol? I don't think they really care, right? I think a lot of teams that are lousy are not going to have much interest. I think the teams that feel that they were, that they really had something ripped away will be upset. And that, of course, is the Yankees.
No, I don't disagree with you. I mean, the Yankees, Dodgers, I mean, teams that it directly affected. But still, I mean, just if you're a fan of baseball, you don't like the fact that, this team was able to win a World Series and they cheated the game.
That's right.
Like that pisses you off. It does.
Yeah.
That'll be with Altuve for the rest of his career, right? That's not going to go away for him, is it?
I think he's been the most affected.
Yeah.
By this whole thing. As far as with the perception of him, what he was before, and then what he is now. He's still a really good player, but
he's an excellent player. He's an excellent player.
But I mean, he's still a really good player. But as far as how people talk about Jose Altuve, that's diminished. At one point, he was one of the best players in baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. And you kind of fell in love with him because he was such a little guy. But now I think you feel very differently about that.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk to RJ right after the show. And Santiago played the, hey, it's Friday in the last segment. And RJ said immediately he thought of, oh, my God, it's Friday. We're going away this weekend. I guess they're going to visit a friend. I haven't packed. I'm in trouble. I got to get out of here. all these moments. You start singing, Rick. You should have heard it. Rick starts singing, it's Friday. Do you actually have any audio of what happens?
It's party tonight.
Even though it's Thursday, it's Friday here. On 98.7
ESPN. You know what? For me,
great
it's Friday.
Job. Santiago is really on the ball.
He had me convinced it was Friday. I just got excited.
You're singing it. I'm like, wait a minute. Today's not Friday. I mean, Santy is really on the ball this morning. I love my favorite thing. He plays it, and you don't realize that it's in fact not Friday.
Nah, he actually he had me convinced it was Friday. As soon as I hear that song,
you hear that song, and immediately you're like, oh, it's Friday. So if you heard that song on a Tuesday, you think you'd immediately think, all right, it's Friday.
Yeah, probably.
We don't sleep. Like
yeah,
dog.
Probably. I mean, this is what happens when you get 3 hours of sleep a night. You have no idea. I don't know what day it is.
I love when the song comes on and you just start singing it.
I was so excited. You gave us a couple of gems
this week, by the way. Nothing better than the counter, though. I think that goes down as the.
You know when you go to a diner and you can sit up by the flat top? What is that called?
The counter?
Yeah, the counter.
It's so great, Dave. It's so great.
It doesn't get old. It'll never get old.
I've done what I came to done the week before.
Yeah, with a mouthful of mango.
Just dropping jewels everywhere, Rick.
Just because I got a mango in my mouth.
We should do what we should do at the end of the week? The Rick DiPietro line of the week.
I like it.
Because now you're going to put pressure on me. I'm going to have to come up with a line.
You don't have to do anything, Rico.
Just be your normal self. You're going to come up with something for us. It's going to be gold.
Were you trying to come up with... I've done what I came to done?
I've done what I came to done.
No.
No.
It just happens.
Yeah, listen, I think if we actually were playing, I mean, if we were a pyramid team with the clues I was giving you with the flat top and you sit up at it, I mean, you guys got it immediately. You know when you go to a diner and you can sit up by the flat top? What is that called?
The counter?
Counter?
Yeah, the counter.
I don't know. I don't know whether your clues to what it was is better, or Chris and I's, like, the counter is better of that. But look, you've tried to do nothing, and every single week of the show, you've given us a gem.
I do what I can. Listen, I do what I can.
I've done what I came to done.
Exactly, yeah. Right.
That's right. I mean, come on. Tell me you couldn't see, like, a sponsored segment set, like, on a legitimate Friday, 7:45, Rick's Line of the Week, brought to you by whoever.
No, I mean, I could see a segment. Let's come on.
Not even a
Let's
segment. Just like a sponsored quick moment of the week.
No, the only reason you get things sponsored is because you have a friend that sponsors things. There's no way what you think sales is going to get something sponsored. Stop.
Well, maybe I'll get it done. Maybe I'll take to the streets and get right some
now.
Done.
It's Rule 76. No, it's not. It's 3 stars.
Well, I don't know why that had to be played. All
and
right,
then we can have another show steal the segment. It'd be perfect.
That's right. Kenny Canty going all over the place yesterday. All over the place yesterday.
Well, I got to turn on Get Up, and now it's they're a Get Up's award winning segment. As if they created it. Can't pitch on there and everything.
Listen, imitation is the greatest form of flattery, right, guys? I mean, the fact that they're taking elements of our show, that just means that we're doing a good show.
I guess that's a valid point.
They've pretty much taken every element of the show. They've taken everything but us.
Well, they take Chris.
They take Chris, yeah. Right. But, I mean, as far as the show is concerned, they take every element of it.
They started with Chris. All right, here is Dusty Baker. Listen to this on Altuve in his home run yesterday.
Boy, I mean, that was huge. And, you know, it quieted the fans, you know, for a little while anyway. So I can't tell you how happy everybody, you know, in the dugout was, you know, for Jose, because he's one of the best guys that you'll ever meet in this game.
I mean, do you not know your audience at all? Now, I think Dusty Baker is probably one of the great guys in baseball, and everyone really likes him and respects him. And I think he was the perfect guy to take this job as the manager of a team that was spiraling. But one of the great guys in all of baseball?
I think he's speaking of the person more than the cheating aspect of it.
Yeah.
I guess, but come on. That's
what the manager is supposed to say. I mean, that's why they brought Dusty Baker in. I mean, you saw how he reacted in the dugout when Altuve came back. Like, I mean, you take on a I'm sure Dusty Baker's kind of like a father figure in that clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys love him. And listen, Dave, Chris and I can tell you, there are some awful, awful people, awful human beings that were teammates. And there were some guys that, I mean, Altuve's probably a good guy. Guys in the clubhouse probably like him. He's probably
a good
dude.
I'm sure that they do. I'm sure that he's a good teammate. I'm sure he's a good guy. So there are teammates that you absolutely hated, guys?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hated. So when they succeeded, did it pain you, or did you think team first way before disliking the individual?
Well, no. If they can help you win games, then you're going to think about how they impact your team in a positive way. You're not going to think about what a despicable person they are. I mean, that's just what it is. You have no control over them being your teammate. But, I mean, if they're helping you win, yeah, it's just one of those things like, okay, we'll take it. It's not like I'm going to go hang out and celebrate the win with that guy afterward. But, I mean, you do want them to win just because it helps your team.
That's the focus. I mean, that really is. That's what it comes down to. Is that for the most part, I mean, there's a lot of great guys on your teams, and you make a lot of really good friends, really close friends. But there's some guys you just don't like, some guys that are just bad people, bad human beings that you don't agree with how they live their life. But, I mean, if ultimately they help you win and you win, then you celebrate as a team. And it's not like you're going to – that's going to be the guy that you choose to go right. Hang out with or call up to go to dinner. But – and it's just – especially in football. I can't even imagine with football with how many people are on a roster. It's different in the other sports. Not nearly.
I mean, you say it's different, Rico, but I mean, the majority of the guys in the locker room are good guys. You know what I'm saying? It's just a few of guys that are just a little bit different, and you know, it is what it is with those dudes. They march to the beat of their own drum. I mean, it's not like you got to make it a point to always try to be around those guys outside of the workplace. So I mean, it's just one of those things. You accept them for who they are, what they can do for the team, and then you leave it there.
No, I just meant sheer numbers, like the number of the. There's a better chance with that many people that you're going to probably get more than you would.
Yeah,
with
sure.
With less guys
sure.
on a roster.
Sure.
Well, you probably get more good guys and more bad guys too, right? Yeah. They just have more players on the roster. Mm-hmm. All right, here is the man that everyone loves around Major League Baseball, Jose Altuve, on being booed yesterday.
I'm just trying to do my best to play the game. Yeah, you don't like to get booed by anybody, but, you know, that's part of the game. And like I said, I was just going out there and trying to do my best to help my team to win.
But see, it's kind of not part of the game. Like it's not like a normal way that he's being booed. He's being booed because there is a belief around Major League Baseball that he was wearing a buzzer and cheating the game like we've never seen before.
Yeah, but it's also how they reacted to getting caught, you know, caught cheating too. Was fine.
Yes.
Yeah, they were defiant.
Yeah, they were defiant. And I mean, I would still love, I hope there's someone right now at ESPN that's doing a deep dive trying to figure out if there were buzzers or not. Because I would love to know. Tell me you guys don't think there was buzzer.
There was no,
I don't know
Rico.
How you couldn't.
It had to be a buzzer. It had to be something. Think about it. There's no way after he hits that home run off of Chapman, he's going to come around third base knowing that his team is going to advance to the World Series, and he's going to hold on to his jersey so they don't rip it off in that moment? No,
that's
man.
His first thought. And no then his shot. Answer is, my wife doesn't like my tattoo and didn't want everyone to see it? Come
no
on.
No shot. No shot.
Yeah, I don't buy it either. I do not buy it either.
Yeah, it's a terrible, terrible excuse.
But here's the thing, though. I mean, yeah, they're getting booed at a different level. But, I mean, come on. I mean, as long as your home crowd's not booing you, that's usually what happens. Like, and especially if you're a really good player or you're a really good team. You're going to get booed. When you play on the road, you're going to get booed. The Yankees
get booed.
Yeah,
but this is abnormal. There's normal booing.
But it's
self-inflicted. I don't like you because you're great.
It's self-inflicted, though.
Of course it is.
So how do you?
I'm not making excuses,
but
I'm just saying this is not the normal garden variety booing where you show up, you're great, the other team hates you because you're great because you own them, and you know they're all over you. This is, we hate you because we believe that you cheated the game and cheated us out of a chance at a championship.
How much different if the whole cheating thing didn't happen, and you're playing, and I'd say it's ramped up because now it feels like it's a playoff mentality from the fan base because of the cheating. But let's just say there's no cheating, but it's the Astros at Yankee Stadium in a playoff series.
Mm.
You don't think the building is as crazy as it was this week?
I think it's as crazy. I don't think people are as angry. I think it's like that's our opponent, and we hate them because they're good.
Have you been to a Yankees game? They're pretty angry.
I understand that, but I think it's a different level of anger. I think there's almost like you're so good that we hate you because you're so good. I think now they actually hate him and hate them.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong. I'd say regardless, I mean, they still would. I mean, you'd still have the same reaction from the fan base if it was just the Astros minus the cheating versus the Yankees in a playoff series.
Yeah, you have a lot of anger.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Now, here's my question on this, because Taekwondo, as Rick affectionately calls him, is in for Santee today. Was this Ty's brilliance, or Rick, I'll give you credit. If this was your idea to play this returning from break, I'll give you credit. Whose idea was this?
Well, you got to give credit on both sides. It was my idea, but uh-huh. Ty's the one that does the music, so he's willing to play.
No. If it was your idea, then you get the credit.
It was my idea, then you get the credit. It was my idea, but I give Ty tons of credit because he's playing along and he played the music.
No, stop it.
That's the kind of guy I am. I don't like to turn people off like you. I'm the man of the people.
You're the man. You are not the man of the people.
How can you say that? I've had nothing bad to say about heavyset people that diabetics.
Because I'm the every fan. I'm the man of the people on the show. No one relates to you. Everyone relates to me.
I listen. You are not the every fan, because if every fan acted like you, there would be chaos.
Yes, that is true.
Nothing I can do! First down! Oh, my God!
Did you see the video that somebody sent us on Twitter?
Yeah, everyone thought it was me?
Well, I think they were just joking. They knew it wasn't you.
No, I know that. No, but that was a little over the top, though. I don't like that.
Yeah, the whole breaking stuff in the moment, it feels like it's going to like make you feel better, and then all of a sudden you realize you broke something. Did you see how aggravated his girl was that he broke.
I don't blame her. He just put two huge holes into the wall. I don't blame her at all.
My favorite.
See, he doesn't play the game like I do. I typically have done this on my own, and then when Sherry finds them, I'm like, I don't know how something like that would have happened. She's like, why is the window broken? I don't know. And then it was months later. She's like, what exactly happened? Tell me the truth. I said, you know, I pushed the treadmill through the blinds, through the window.
Wow.
Yeah.
Still can't believe you did that, Dave.
I was so angry. I smashed the treadmill through the blind, through the window.
You're a psychopath. I mean, that's what it comes down to. You're psycho.
I do have issues. I can't deny that. But speaking of that, wedding anniversary tomorrow, guess how many years we're going to make if we make it through today?
Ooh, that's got to be even money on you making it to today.
Guess how many guess how many? This is a 17. This is an inspiring number.
17 years.
16.
17. Exactly right. That's a lot of years. Who would have thought that I would make it for 17 years?
RJ, I want that as I got a next get to know Dave. That was a question he just asked. I'm correct. One for one so far.
No. No. Absolutely not. Why would you get credit for that?
You're impressed.
I am impressed, but that doesn't mean you get a 1-0 lead in the next Getting to Know Rothenberg. And by the way, Getting to Know Canty, Getting to Know your co-host, 6:45 this morning. Questions so, in the vault, right, Chris? Ready to go?
The questions are in the bank, Dave, but I got to say, there are some tough questions in this. Tough questions.
Really?
Yeah, you're going to have to do some thinking on this one. The clues are there. You should have enough information to be able to come up with the right answer, but these are not going to be easy questions.
Do you believe that every question that you will ask at 6:45 this morning has been discussed and or mentioned at some point on the show?
No, but I have said things that would give you some context clues in order to get to the right answer. So you're going to have to go down the road a little bit on these questions. They're good questions.
Okay.
I sent them to RJ Santillo yesterday, and he said these are really good questions. So
you ask Canty that question. Of the three of us, you're the only one that asks questions that have never been mentioned or talked about on the show. You're the only one that asks those questions.
That's true.
I didn't say that he couldn't do that. I was only querying whether or not he was going in that direction. Why are you so quick to judge down my throat?
Because when we started the segment, that's not the direction we were supposed to go down.
I don't remember that being a rule.
Well, of course you did, because you haven't adopted the rule. You just do whatever the hell you want.
You know what you are? You're a big complainer. I mean, it's constant complaining from you, and I don't like this, and I don't like that. Why can't you just live in the moment and enjoy what we have going on here?
I like when things are done the right way. You know? I mean, you can't do it. That's fine.
That's fine. From now on, I'll just ask very basic, generic questions.
Here we go.
Playing
the world's smallest violin. Dave Rothenberg, the victim. On cue, 5:43 this morning.
Yep. If you had 5:43,
everybody's favorite victim, Dave Rothenberg.
Would you like to hear what one Alex Rodriguez said on our very own Clubhouse Confidential yesterday? I think this is an interesting soundbite. He said the Yankees made a mistake in letting Didi leave the organization.
It's such a glaring misstep, I thought, not bringing Didi Gregorius back. He fit this team like a perfect 10. He was left-handed power with contact. He can hit the ball out of the park. Just over the last week, he's had a 3-run homer and a grand slam yesterday. Lockdown defender, beloved and revered in that clubhouse. One of the most unselfish players I've ever played with. Speaks 5 languages, and I just don't understand why he's not a shortstop for the New York Yankees.
Yeah.
Buster, when you say $250 million for Story, while you're right, if you're a Yankee fan, it must make you cringe because there's other things you can do with those resources when you already have Didi.
Wow, that's a strong statement. A glaring misstep from the Yankees, huh?
He's not wrong in my opinion. Dave, you know how I felt about Didi Gregorius. I thought that beyond what he brings to the team from a baseball standpoint, just what he does for your clubhouse in terms of lightening the mood, understanding how to motivate his teammates, helping to get guys locked in, just bringing that energy, that infectious enthusiasm. Like, the Yankees don't have a guy like that. And Didi brought that to the ballpark every single time. Not to mention, I loved his tweets after they won. But, I mean, it's just it was one of those guys that you looked at as a glue guy. Plus, when you look at the circumstances and him succeeding Derek Jeter and the way that he stepped in, I mean, you didn't miss a beat. So I just felt like that was one of those, you know, it just didn't make a whole lot of sense for them to do that, to let him go, especially with the money that it was going to cost to keep him. It wasn't going to cost you a whole lot of money. So it just seemed like it was a perfect fit having him at shortstop and having Gleyber Torres at second. But I mean, the Yankees went in a different direction. I'm with A-Rod on that one. I feel like that was a little bit of a misstep by Cashman.
Well, then you guys are both wrong. I understand what you're saying, and I think they missed Didi's personality. I don't know how much the...
Well, now, hang on a moment.
He speaks 5 languages.
What do you mean you're both wrong?
No, him and A-Rod.
David didn't say anything.
Oh, no, I thought you were attacking me as well.
No, I was waiting for
you. You know what? I'm so defensive because that's the normal way you would go here. Okay, that's fine. Go ahead.
At some point, I figured you would say Didi Gregorius is fun to watch play. I mean, that was going to be your take. So
the Knicks are great. I love watching this team.
Just kind of push that to the side.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why Didi Gregorius isn't on this team is because they signed DJ LeMahieu. DJ LeMahieu is going to play second. Gleyber Torres is going to play short. And Gleyber Torres has been better at short recently defensively. And he hits for more power than Didi. We all love Didi. I think Didi, I mean, leadership-wise, he's great in the locker room. Enthusiasm, everything else. But then you sign Didi, that means there's no LeMahieu. Where's he playing?
There's no spot for him.
So I get what he's saying, and that's something that they could use at the moment, or that they're lacking. But again, I don't. where are you playing him? You got Void at first, you're going to have LeMahieu at second, and you got Gleyber Torres at short.
That's right. Unless you played LeMahieu at third.
Yeah, you could have played him at third, and there'd be
where's
no
Urshela
Gio Urshela.
There'd
be
you don't have Urshela then. If you had that, if you had Didi at short, Gleyber at second, LeMahieu at third, I mean, you're still a pretty good infield, no?
Yeah, you're a really good infield.
And yeah, you're pretty good. LeMahieu's not the defender at third that Urshela is.
Yeah, he's a better baseball player than Urshela, though.
He's a better second baseman.
Yeah, indeed. Urshela's
been one of
more
Urshela's been one of your more consistent bats in your lineup. Has he not?
He has,
and he plays.
I think you're a better baseball team if you have Didi at short, LeMahieu at third, and Gleyber at second.
Yeah, I disagree with you.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm
so now you can disagree
with
me, Chris, and Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah,
all of you, all three of you.
Okay,
yeah.
No, that's fine. Yep. Should we go through your major league baseball predictions now?
No, I don't. I mean, I could care less, really.
that's so untrue.
No, it is true.
I'm not
caring about that stuff. I'm not going to do it anymore either.
Here we go.
You've completely turned me off.
I turned you off, or you never wanted to do anything like that in the first place?
You've completely turned me off.
How so?
You've turned me off. I'm not.
No, I know you're saying that, but how have I turned you off?
It's hard to explain. It's just how I feel right now at this moment, that you've demoralized me to the point where your lack of energy, awful takes, it sucked the life right out of me.
So my lack of energy has ripped away your wanting to do predictions or projections.
Yep. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, because that's what you guys like to do. You like to do these predictions and everything else. That's not fun, making predictions and all this fugaziness.
I think people greatly enjoy it.
No, they don't.
You don't think so?
No, they don't love it. The people that I talk to don't love it. The
people that you talk to. You have a lot of people.
Yeah, so maybe during the next break, I'll sit down with Ty and kind of recenter my chi and then see what we look like for the 6 o'clock hour.
I mean, see, this is what he does. Like, almost like you should teach a master class in this. Whenever you're put on the defensive, you comically make fun of someone else, and then you go on the offensive. It's really well done. I give you a lot of credit for it.
I didn't make fun of Ty. I was being honest. I mean, me and him sit down. We'll have 2 minutes.
But you're making fun of Ty.
I mean,
it's comical. It's funny, but you're still taking shots at him.
Yeah. A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't disagree. But again, I don't really feel like going back and forth with you today.
No?
No.
Chris, you want to hear some baseball projections of what we thought would happen before the season started?
Let's do it, Dave.
Yeah. Can I get baseball music? Is that the kind of thing that we
can get? Ty, could you also play the sound of radio shutting off as Dave announces this segment?
I don't think so. I think this will be a 25 segment. I'll run through it quickly. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this. We'll get to the Mets in a moment. Let's look at the interesting ones. Obviously, in the American League East, we all have the Yankees. They're not leading now. They will. The Central, Chris, you and I, horrendous here. We both picked the Minnesota Twins, who look awful at 11-19. Rick, you went with the White Sox, who are sitting here at 16-13. So despite your misery, good selection there so far. The AL West. Yeah, you made fun of me first week of the season when the A's were like 0-6. They're now 19-14 and leading the American League West. Both of you took the Astros. I'm surprised that you took the Astros there. Wild card number one, I took the Astros. Rick, you went out on a limb and took the Twins. Chris with the Blue Jays, good pick there. Wild card number two, I went White Sox. Rick, you went Rays, who had another win yesterday over the Angels. And Chris, you went White Sox as well. American League Championship Series. I have Yankees, A's. Rick, you have Yankees, White Sox. Chris, you have Yankees, White Sox.
Yeah, it's worth mentioning that one. It's Murray, because that one's topical at the moment.
Yankees, White Sox. You love that one?
Yeah, let's bring that one up.
Are you really? You know what? Your lack of enjoyment with anything that we do is painfully, glaringly obvious at this point.
You just said that you were going to go through this thing quick. And for
I haven't gone through quick.
Well, no, you want to why you mention the ALCS? We're not even close. I mean, what are we doing
this
here?
This is a prediction that we all made. Carry us through. Go ahead. Why don't you lead us on a brilliant analysis of Major League Baseball? Go ahead. Lead us.
No, I would take us to break. I would get right out of this.
So 6 minutes early, you take us to break.
Yes.
So when we're supposed to break, then you just ramble on forever, and I have RJ yelling at me, can you please break? Can you please break? But in a segment like this, when there's 5.5 minutes to go in the segment, now you would break. Boy, you really should lead the show one day.
Yeah, I think the break would rate higher than this. Oh, let's talk about the ALCS.
Since I didn't say 30, let's talk about
31
the ALCS.
Games in.
I can't wait to expose you for the fraud that you are in 8 minutes from right now.
for the absolute unmitigated fraud that you are. With the call that I received yesterday, I was embarrassed for you. Embarrassed.
Now, you've one-upped yourself with this segment. Let's go continue. I'm going to send this one to Marconi. Let's go.
No,
let's break down the ALCS.
You lead us. You lead us. Go ahead. Why don't you break down the genius of the Yankees for letting Didi go? Go ahead.
I let us yesterday. I opened the show. It is not the Wednesday that Dave
washing my hands.
It is the Thursday. I took care of my requirements.
That's right. I could have you thinking it's a day. It's not if I just play a bit of music right here.
I wish yesterday was Friday the way this show started.
I know you wish yesterday was Friday.
Embarrassing yourself today. Let's go.
I'm embarrassed. No, I'm done. Honestly, I have nothing more to say.
Break down the ALCS.
You carried along here. Go ahead. What is it that you're looking to do?
No, I'm interested to see.
No, you're not.
Let's break down the ALCS.
No, you're not. No, because if Rick's not, we know how it works here. If Rick's not happy, then everyone has to suffer. That's what you are. You've claimed you're a great teammate. You're the worst kind of teammate. If something's not going the exact way you want it, now you freak out and act like an absolute baby.
I'm taking the pulse of the audience. No one wants to hear about the ALCS predictions right now. Come on.
I mentioned division leaders, passing. Okay. In passing, the American League Championship Series predictions. Maybe 8 to 10 seconds, that's it. And now you have to spend the next 5 minutes getting all upset? What a baby you are.
Could have glossed over it. Let's go.
What a baby. You know what? Forget it. Let's go to some calls, because that'll save you from what
now.
You're
who's
doing
the
right
baby?
Now
who's the baby?
You.
Now you're the baby.
I'm a baby. You're a baby.
Now you're the baby.
You're baby. Mike in where is Mike? Norwalk. Good morning, Mike. You're on 98.7. I'm sorry for what he's doing today, Mike.
Hello.
Hello, Mike.
How you doing?
Not great.
You guys are hilarious. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you, Mike.
Rick does these awkward pauses. Okay, no. He's very socially awkward.
Go
ahead.
This is the baseball prediction of calls right now.
I know you're talking about baseball, but is it all right for me to make a couple Giants points?
Honestly, at this point, if you want to talk about like what's going on in the Middle East, I think it would be an upgrade over what Rick is doing this morning. So please, have at it.
No, I just wanted to say I think I like what they did in the draft, because with where they were picking after he traded down, I didn't really see like an offensive lineman that would have been worth taking there. And or one of the pass rushers. So I like what they did, and they still addressed a couple edge rushers in the other later rounds. And I think that they finally got a good coach there. And I also wanted to say that everyone was saying about their offensive line being so horrible last year, but they really, like, you saw the improvement later on in the season. And I think that it's Nate Solder coming back, like, I would have rather seen him just cut him, because, like, he was so horrible the year before anyway, and I like where, like, you know, the young guys they have, like Pert and...
Listen, they're paying Solder $3 million.
Nothing, yeah.
I mean, is he worth that as a swing tackle? I would say that he is. I don't think that's a problem. I think that's your big question mark with the Giants right now. It's the offensive line, and it's Daniel Jones. But if Jones can't be good with the weapons that he has now, then I think you probably throw your hands up and move in a different direction after the season.
And, Dave, Daniel Jones having so many weapons is going to allow him to get the ball out of his hands a lot quicker, which is going to mitigate any deficiencies that your offensive line might have. But I will say this. I think the offensive line is a work in progress. There's still a lot of show and prove, but you're talking about a lot of young players that should get better going from year one to year two or year two to year three. So I think there's reason to be optimistic with that group. But let's be honest. The offensive line or Daniel Jones, those are the only two things that are going to hold the Giants back from being a playoff team this year. That's it.
I agree with you. I think you're 100% on. I think the defense was good enough, right? I mean, the defense was pleasantly surprising. They have a million weapons right now. They added from last season, week three, Saquon Barkley, who's one of the best running backs in football, Kenny Galladay, who's a terrific receiver when healthy, right? Mm-hmm. Tony, the kid they drafted, Kyle Rudolph. I mean, they have to added legitimate weapons to this team.
Yeah, this is going to be a really good team, man. I expect the Giants to be a playoff team once we get to the month of December. Like, they should be able to control their own playoff fate. It's not going to be like last year in week 17 when you're hoping that the Eagles can upset the Washington football team so you can backdoor your way in. Like, I expect Joe Judge to have this group in position to compete for the division. Like, they should be able to control that. And again, that's putting a lot of expectations on Daniel Jones in year three. But Dave, I got a lot of confidence that the kid is made of the right stuff and that he's going to be able to prove that he's this team's future franchise quarterback.
And I think that everybody believes in the head coach of this team. Pedro Hernandez tweets, and I'd much rather have Didi at short, Glaber at second, LeMahieu at first, and Urshela at third. So he goes even in a different direction there. But Luke Voit led Major League Baseball in home runs last year. So I don't know what the right answer is.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.